We now go to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. My good buddy, Doug Lamarese, he visits us every single Saturday around this time. Doug, the look, you've been consistent with us that the plan was working in, with the Browns and Sashi. I can get about 75-80% of the way with you on that road, and then we tend to divert. One thing that I think is incredibly counterproductive and also very transparent is what has been going on. And it really started with Hugh saying that, you know, about a month ago that our team had to play perfect to win, that the blame was being shifted entirely onto Sashi Brown. And it continued this week with new general manager John Dorsey saying, you know, that they couldn't draft real players. I don't even know what that means, real players. It looks like they have. I would give Sashi as a player evaluator a C+-ish. And when you think about this franchise for the 15 years previous, it's mostly D and F. So he's better. He may be valedictorian of school, but at least he's valedictorian of summer school. He's valedictorian of something. And I think this is counterproductive to do this. And to the only thing that it does, Doug, and I'm sorry I'm rambling here, but I'm just trying to make sense of what it does. What it does is it does say, don't judge me anytime soon. That's the only thing that I can take away from it.
Well, it sets them up to get any credit for anything.
Right.
That this is terrible. Nobody could win here. If anybody wins, it's because Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey are geniuses who saved you. So, yeah, I mean, I get that. I get the game of that, you know, that every, you know, people do it to some degree. People do that. The new guys and franchises do that. But I do think it's harmful. I do think it's counterproductive. And I don't know that it's like going to tear apart the locker room or anything. It is unfair to the fans.
Yeah.
We have to stop having different Browns, like this Browns and that Browns. Like John Dorsey is saying, well, these aren't my guys. Like, oh, this roster. Right. I have to deal with this, but this isn't me. They're the Browns. You're the Browns. Everybody is the Browns. Stop fighting. Stop blaming. Be a team. Be one organization. And these are your guys.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Now, if you're going to make moves, you know, Sashi made a lot of moves. Sashi came in and got rid of a lot of guys who were here. So make your moves. Let the moves do the talking. That's your proof of saying, well, I didn't like what was here. Then make the moves. Fine, make your moves. But don't preemptively tear down your – it's your team, John Dorsey. If you didn't want it, you shouldn't have taken the job. And don't do this to these fans. It's counterproductive and it's selfish.
It's all of those things. I agree with you 100%. You said something early that got me thinking a little bit. Are you surprised? You said that basically because of John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson's genius, anybody who's watched Hugh coach football the 2 years he's been here, you can't say unequivocally he's a genius. There, you can have a dissenting opinion on whether he's a failure or border. I mean, he's won one game. I don't know how he's defined as anything other than a failure. You can luck into wins in the NFL. He's won one. So to me, he's a failure as a head coach here in Cleveland. But the idea that John Dorsey would tie himself and tether himself to Hugh Jackson so completely, based off of what? A couple of weeks of knowing each other? Unless Jimmy is dictating as such, I don't understand why he would be so all in with making this, you know, poor Hugh, and Hugh's the genius who's going to fix this. Is that surprising to you?
Yeah, no, I think it is surprising to me. Maybe there is some reaction to what I just said, that there was infighting, that the coaching staff and the front office were on such separate agendas. Maybe Jimmy Haslam made it very clear, like, you guys need to be together. I'm tired of this. And so John Dorsey's gone over the top.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a lot of lip service being paid to, we're going to get guys for Hugh. We're going to do this for Hugh, for Hugh. And it's just talk. I think that it might be just talk.
Yeah.
So Dorsey wanted a job, but I think they're going, you know, again, it's not about Hugh. Why is it about Hugh?
I have no idea.
It's about the franchise. It's about the fans. It's not about poor little victim Hugh Jackson. Stop doing it for Hugh. Hugh is not a victim. Do it for the Browns fans. Okay, so I think it's lip service to some degree. I don't think it is absolutely set in stone that Hugh's back. I think Jimmy just doesn't want people to fight anymore. But I think it is weird to act like this is all about one guy, because it's not. It's not about Hugh.
No. The other thing about this is to me, I don't know. I always think that there's a civil way to handle your business. I mean, that, you know, anything you do, just kind of like on Twitter, like a lot of times if you tweet something in emotion, you know, take 15 seconds before you hit send. Anything done in emotion it's a fail. It's not well thought out. And that's kind of what this reminds me of, because the reality of this situation, I said this before you came on, Doug, that no regime, I would say no regime since the Cleveland Browns have come back to Cleveland, has been set up for success like John Dorsey is. I mean, if he is competent at all, if he does a B-plus draft, I mean, just think about how the dynamics of this franchise. I like Josh Rosen best of the quarterbacks. Let's say you take Josh Rosen and you end up Saquon Barkley at 6, and you have $100 million in cap space that you can spend, and you've got, what do they have, like 13 picks in the first six rounds of the draft? Like, you can be 7-9 next year. I don't think that's out of the question. And you can have the makings of one of the most dynamic football teams in the entire league in one offseason. And that's because of Sashi Brown and what he did. And I'm not a Brown apologist. I don't think he rewrote, you know, the way to go about this business, but at least there was a plan and it is set up to pay off now. And to not acknowledge that to me is petty and short-sighted.
Right, and it doesn't need to be done. I don't know, like, who he's trying to appeal to. Like, I think
got
to
be Jimmy. Jimmy?
I mean, I guess so. Because it's not the fans. I mean, like, I don't know.
No.
That's one of those things. Like, that I had someone on Twitter ask me why I'm being so negative when I bashed Dorsey for saying this, and I was like, is that where we are? I'm saying no. The players aren't terrible. It's now a negative opinion for a journalist to say the Browns have good players, because their own GM is saying they don't have good players. That's where we are. I do think it's appealing to Jimmy, but you have to think about it. I know people don't want to give anybody credit for Myles Garrett. Anybody would have made that pick. They don't have any first-round picks from before when Sarcy was here.
Right.
Barkevious Mingo and Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon and Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert, they were all terrible.
Right.
They were absolute whiffs.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not drafting real players. Taking Barkevious Mingo number 6 and him being that, trading down and then taking Justin Gilbert and him being blah, that's what not real players looks like. That's not what Myles Garrett is. That's not what David Njoku is. So the fan, I don't know if he's trying to appeal to some segment of the fans who he's trying to say, hey, you know, we're going to get this right. Hey, I agree with you. These players suck. I don't think that's what, at least, and we've talked about this, I think the fan base is divided, and I don't want the fan base to be divided anymore. They have to be able to come back together. But there are fans who got this, and they don't want to hear the whole roster stinks, because they realize it's not just about 1-28. There's some other nuance to it. But I do think he's probably appealing to Jimmy, which is sad. If you have to appeal to your owner by running down your roster, that's sad. That's either sad about you or that's sad about that owner that you're trying to gain favor with.
Doug, it's also disingenuous. Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com, joins us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. I think the thing that I think people of a certain age, you know, when you reach, I think you don't understand sometimes how the world works now. And I say this all the time about our business, and I say it about, you know, the idea of us. It used to be, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you had an advantage over the listener or the reader or the viewer, in that you had access to things that they didn't. There is so much access to data now that is in the public's domain that they can read or see or get at any point. To come on and say that there's no talent on the roster, they don't have real players, it's a flat-out lie. And to your point, most people, and I agree with you, it's a split fan, it's split along age. It's absolutely, if you are under a certain age, I think a lot of people were on board with what's going on here. You know, there are younger people understand the process of this and what it took. Older people don't have the patience for it, and they want football guys and rah-rah, and that's what it is. And I'm not saying one's right, so one's wrong, but it's definitely two sets of Browns fans that are out there. And I think the idea that these people, you're treating them like fools. They can see that there's players. And they know right. what was done previously as you've just lifted the draft pick. So it's disingenuous as well.
No, it is. And I do think, and that's the thing too. I mean, in the media, there's a lot of good, and I've the more I've done with the Browns, I've been glad to open my eyes to a lot of the other the websites and some other people in Cleveland and around the NFL who are doing a lot of good work, who do understand it, who really break down this roster on their own. You know, there are ways for fans who want to have a different view to get that information.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good people presenting that information in really smart ways. It isn't just, you know, guys like you and me. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot more people out there helping you along the way. And so I'm glad there are people calling bull on John Dorsey. And I felt like there was a pushback among a lot of people, among a lot of smart NFL, you know, writers and podcasters and that kind of thing. And it's good. And but I just, the main thing, Bo, is I just want this to be over for the fans. I want the two Browns world to be over. I get it. And that was a failing. And again, we know where I stand with Sashi. But that was a failing of Hugh and of Sashi that they did this, that it was so divergent. You know what I mean? I would blame Hugh more because Haslam hired Sashi and they said, we're going to try this. And then I think Hugh bailed on it. But still, Sashi and Hugh both get blame for having sort of like you had to choose as a Browns fan, you know? And so, and as I said, Hugh won.
He did.
I don't think Hugh should have won. I think Sashi should have won. If you're only going to fire one of them, I think you should have fired Hugh. But I didn't get my way. Jimmy Haslam picked Hugh. So please stop making it two things. It's one thing. And you have to stop. And again, let's not play the game because I know some other people do this. Oh, well, now poor Tom Heckert, he brought in Josh Gordon, and no one gives him credit for that. Phil Savage, that's not what it's about. It's not who Ray Farmer drafted this guy and Phil Savage drafted Joe Thomas. Stop.
You know, Doug, they are. And, you know, all this being said, you and I are kind of coming at this from the same place, and one thing I like talking to you about is because nothing's manufactured, is how you feel, and that is how – and I go about the job the same way. I can acknowledge that what happened this week was silly and short-sighted and petty, and I'm sure John Dorsey, if asked about it and pressed about it, would take it back. It probably was something on a live mic that he thought would sound good, and then now that it's been said, you probably wish you hadn't said it because it's just a distraction you don't need. But the reality of this situation is that they really are set up. And he really, if he does a B-level job of drafting, really can change this thing around. And nothing will cure what ills this franchise and this city's love for professional football, like a little bit of winning and a franchise quarterback. And they have the ability to do that. And for that, they can thank Sashi Brown.
Yeah, and they're going to do it. And like you said, I mean, you can see where the needs are. I mean, they don't 100%. It doesn't mean they're going to go two offensive skill position guys in the top 10. I know a lot of people think like maybe like if Minkah Fitzpatrick is there, the Alabama DB, maybe you get him. But think about this, Bo. I'm almost 100% certain they'll take the quarterback at one.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
I mean,
yeah.
Like I guess maybe you dink around, but I don't even think you want to play the game of like, well, we think the guy we like another team would take that's moved down two spots. Just take your guy,
pick
right?
Pick the guy, yeah.
But I expect there will be a run on quarterbacks that people are saying, well, a lot of the teams there don't need a quarterback. Then those teams will trade back. Other teams are going to trade up to get their guy, right?
Yes.
So whether you take Rosen or Mayfield or Darnold one, whatever, and we can have that debate down the road for months. You take your quarterback one, I think then it would not surprise me for other quarterbacks to go 2-3, maybe 2-3-4.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden your pick is at 5 or 6. You're going to be in a spot, like you said, you might get the best defensive player in this draft at 5 or 6, or you get the best running back, or you get the best receiver. So you've got the best quarterback and then the best something else, and then you start filling in with those second-round picks. If you love another guy, say you love a receiver in the 20s who's falling, you package some of those second-round picks and move up to get him. And here we go.
Yeah, it's not hard. Appreciate you, buddy, as always.
All right, Bo, I love it, man.
All right, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com. Nobody does it better than him. Disagree with him, agree with him. Always thoughtful.